I met recently with a friend of mine who was lamenting that her teenage son greatly disappointed her husband and her because he had just gone on retreat, and the very next day he ends up disobeying his parents, lying to them, and trying to cover up. Anyone connect with that story? She and her husband were devastated because he's a very good son. As a result, they placed strict consequences on him for his behavior so that he could learn a lesson and begin to restore trust among them in the family. Living strictly by the Ten Commandments, it's easy to identify that two of the ten were violated by my friend's son. Honor your mother and your father, and you shall not bear false witness. The Ten Commandments are important for creating social order. They give us a necessary impulse control and a framework for living good moral lives. In this great assembly of people gathered this morning, it goes without saying that we are all at different places in our spiritual journeys. And no matter where we are, Jesus is always inviting us to grow, to transform our lives and live at a deeper spiritual level. We can certainly live all of the Ten Commandments and still be angry, mean, grumpy people. There's another example when, in the scripture, Jesus invited the rich young man to give up everything and follow him. The man had indicated that he had lived for a long time the commandments of God, but he couldn't take that extra step, and so he went away sad. A deeper level of spirituality is offered to us today as Jesus teaches us the Beatitudes. Sometimes if we have a legalistic type of attitude, the following through of the commandments can appeal to our egotistic consciousness and our need to be right or even better than other people. But with the Beatitudes, there's no ego payoff or social payoff. In Jesus's time, many understood, and honestly, some people believe today, that wealth and success in life are signs that God approves them. Poverty was understood as a consequence of sin. But Jesus, as he often did, turns everything upside down. He says that the kingdom of God belongs to the poor, to the afflicted, to those who act with mercy and courage for the good of others. Instead of seeing the sufferings of life as punishment, Jesus says that the poor are blessed. They are happy because they are chosen by God. And I have to admit that the Beatitudes at a basic level don't make sense. They sometimes kind of don't jive with our experience of feeling sad and mournful, for example, or poor in spirit. But I'm going to share with you this little reflection, which is kind of an examination of conscience connected to the Beatitudes, which is kind of an entry-level understanding of this mystical teaching, really. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The path to holiness requires focusing less on wealth and material things and giving more time and attention to the most important things in life: our relationship with God, our families, and the needs of others, especially those who go without. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Are we humble people? Are we patient with the faults and limitations of others? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Do we show compassion, an ability to suffer with those people that we encounter who experience illness or sorrow? Do we pray for them and offer them help if we are able? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Do we desire and work for justice on behalf of society's most vulnerable people, the unborn, the immigrant, the marginalized, and the abandoned? Are we good stewards of this earth? Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Do we truly do to others what we would have them do for us, especially forgiving them for wrongs they have committed against us and seeking forgiveness from those we have hurt? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Holiness requires cultivating a heart in love with God and our neighbor. Do we reject cynicism and negativity and allow truth and charity to guide our thoughts and actions? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Do we sow peace in our relationships? Do we steer clear of gossip and treat everyone with respect? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes being a Christian requires us to be countercultural, to make the right choice, not necessarily the popular choice. Are we willing to endure opposition and even ridicule because of our faith? Each time we respond yes to these beatitudes, let us do what Jesus said: rejoice and be glad, because we are growing into the blessed Christian person that Jesus wants us to be.